Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh, the podcast dedicated to all of those moments in a comedian's life when the crowd doesn't laugh. And you have to wonder, is it me? Is it them? Is it God? This episode is called Walkin' Texas Ranger, just because I just think that's kind of funny. And also because I was losing my voice this weekend, so I'm talking kind of lower. And I learned some that I really enjoy it, actually. I'm not talking like Christopher Walken per se, but I've always really enjoyed Christopher Walken because he can make anything sound interesting because of his delivery. You know, like you could say, like, I climbed a tree, and he'd just be like, I climbed a tree. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to do a Walken impression. That's just kind of hacky. But like, his watch. It's his daddy's watch. His daddy died of dysentery. Give me the watch. His watch. You know, like that. And I'm in Texas at the time. So that's why it's called that. It's really stupid. It's kind of a stupid title. But this episode is a blast because I did so much riffing that we're just, we're loaded with material. First off, thank you all for the Why Didn't They Laugh listeners who came out. You guys are such good audience members and good people. I reward your asses with booze. Listen to this.
Thank you. Are you listening to the vibe? Oh, nice. Thanks, bud. You want a shot?
Sure.
What do you mean? Who said that? I like that. You saw an opening and you took it. I'll give you a shot. The next one won't, though. But I like what you did.
Okay, so right there, someone was saying, in the front row, these dudes were like, yeah, why don't they laugh? And I was like, you listen to the pod? All right, well, someone just got themselves some free shots. And then this chick just goes, I'll take a shot. And so I was like, I respected the capitalist entrepreneurial nature of her. So I agreed that she could get involved. But then it goes off the rails a little. Gets pretty funny. Check this out.
You saw a market. You're like, Patron, now we're getting a little needy. I'll do that. I like that. I like that about you. So let's do Patron. You like Patron? Let's do Patron. One for your brother? Yeah, of course. Let's do that. How close are you guys in age? You guys look very similar. 3 years? You're not fat, bro. No, he's just said that about himself. Bro, that's not fat, bro. You gotta stop looking at those magazines. Excuse me, miss.
Yeah, literally for no reason the dude called himself fat. He wasn't even fat. He was like, oh, I'm the fat brother. I'm like, no, you're the brother that has to stop comparing his body to all the boys in the magazines.
Excuse me, can I grab four shots of Chill Patron for me and my new friends? I'm like, you're a human? I'm a human. Because it's true, like, it's a miracle we're alive. And the fact that we have other people to share it with. Can you imagine how awful life would be if we really were alone? It'd be awful. You know, we get to, like, look at other people and be like, we're 99.99999% fucking having the same experience. But for some reason, we're too big in the brain. We're like, what's up with that 1/10,000th of a percent? Who's over there? Who's him? Who are you talking about? Huh? What about him, though? He's too what? He's tripping?
Okay, so the woman that asked for the shot now is randomly pointing at a guy and saying he's tripping. So that changes the narrative.
Does anyone else want a shot at Patron?
She just got her shot of Patron revoked. Because I don't like having people hammered.
All right, we're going to go with you. You got cut off. No, I love you. I'll get you a beer. You're not going Patron after that comment. I watch out for you. It's not negative. It's you just thought that guy over there, who? That guy, who? Him, who? Him. He's tripping. Right, but that doesn't mean anything. Like, there's no meaning behind what you just said. And it's not bad. That wasn't mean. That wasn't disruptive. I loved it. But it had no meaning, which makes me think that you've hit your fucking three fuzzy neighbor limit. And I swear to God, watch out for you. It's not because I want to take anything from you. It's I want to give you a good night. So you're going to get a shot. And you can have like a beer or something, or a mixed drink, a glass of wine, a Zima. I used to fucking love Zima, are you kidding me? That shit tastes the good. I don't give a fuck. I'll suck anyone's dick right now.
Yeah, so that's just a good time. And when I say I'll drink Zima, I'll suck anyone's dick right now, that I'm reading two books this week. Both great books. One was called A Billion Wicked Thoughts. It's a psychology book about... They took like billions of internet searches over the course of years. And they tried to compile like what really is human sexuality. Not based on a questionnaire. One of the flaws of most research is they're done by, like, grad students. So it's all the same type of person. So when you just look at internet searches, you can see just every type of human alive. And everyone's honest because they didn't know that they were being watched. And one of the things I found fascinating was the studies of gay porn. Because I don't know much about gay porn. Because I've never really watched it, you know? I've watched lesbian porn. I've seen thumbnails of gay porn, but I've never really, like, dove in. And one thing I thought was fascinating was there's this concept of something called the male gaze that feminists talk about. And that is, like, how men will look at women objectively. And they call this misogyny, which is a word for the hatred of women. And one of the things that this book talks about, one of many, I highly recommend it. I mean, it is... The amount of shit you'll learn about yourself and other people, it's just insane. Like, more the literary nature of female porn, like Twilight and all that stuff, that really is like bang bus for women. It's like that level of like porn. And it's if you think about it, it's just as insane. But anyway... So they broke down this scene of like some porn actor or actress, or it was like, so Angel walks into this room and blah, blah, blah happened. And then his friend comes in and everyone's fucking and blah, blah, blah. And the point they made was it was a gay scene that like gay porn is very similar to straight porn in the way it objectifies body parts and the male gaze is right there. So it isn't an act of hatred of women. It's just how men look at things. And I thought that was really interesting, that the concept of the male gaze, the concept of the objectification of women has nothing to do with women. It has everything to do with men. It has to do with how men look at what they want to fuck, not how men look at women, because they do the same thing to each other when they're gay. And so I've been toying around with like the description of penises, like needing like large dicks and stuff like that, like... That's more in the gay side or heterosexual men, though. This shit, it doesn't seem intuitive, but it is. Like, so they broke down all the words used in female porn versus male porn. When I say female porn, I mean heterosexual, and I don't mean all. There's like 10 to 15% of women that enjoy just straight up porn, like the porn that men watch. A lot of times they're kind of bisexual, if not full-blown bisexual. Like, they will just, like, rub out to, like, like what dudes watch. Like, Bang Bros and shit. Like, Brazzers. But a lot of women don't. And when you look at the descriptive words of what they use, they rarely describe just a massive dick. Like, it would be more like how hard the dick is. And that's about it. Mostly, it's, like, where the guy is in society. You know, money or his heroism. Or, you know, how unattainable he is. He has this very hard exterior and a heart of gold. You know, sometimes he's a straight-up rapist or a serial killer. It's really, really intense. So my point is, why am I talking about this? A, I like to recommend books for you guys. B, like when I go, I'll suck your dick right now, I think dicks are funny. And I think that you almost have to acknowledge the homosexuality or the male heterosexuality of dick jokes. That, like, there's not, like, women will be turned on by, like, a larger penis more based on the male's self-esteem with it. You know, women don't like little dicks, but like the difference between 5.5 inches and 7 inches is only really in the male ego. I think so. And I'm not saying that as a little dick guy. I got a real sweet penis. Like, I wish they liked bigger dick. Like, I wish that it was more, it was what straight men think it is. I guess according to this book, it's fucking not. I don't know. They might be full of shit. But so anyway, that's why I got a big laugh. All right, here we go. And I got a Norm Macdonald's book based on a true story is one of the best books I've ever fucking read. And we'll get to that when I'm about to go down some rabbit holes on stage. But let's see where this goes real quick. Hang on.
Good times. I'm trying to learn Spanish. Where are the Spanish people in the crowd? Latinos. So one shot for her. Two shots for the trailer park boys. You like that show? I fucking love that show. And then one for me. Thank you very much. Gracias. Right, cheers. 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 Salud. Nice, that was very nice. That was a good call. You made a really good call. We really enjoyed it.
All right, so that'll end that little segment. Then I go into the Spanish stuff. And I love Hispanic crowds. They're Hispanic and white, so they're letting me do everything except for anything that has to do with black people. We'll get to that in a second. All right, good times. Where are we going from here? Where are we going from here? Before we go any farther, let's just look at something very interesting. Look at how no one ever gives a fuck if you make fun of Asian people. It's bizarre. Wait, watch this.
My blinker's on. Please let me merge. My arm ends in 500 feet and we'll be fine. He doesn't budge, but that's okay. I still have time. 300 feet, just let me fit. 100 feet, you piece of shit. Thank you. Here's your quick one. I'm only racist when I drive.
Okay, so bear that in mind. No one cares.
You got four brothers or four kids? You guys got four kids together?
Alright, listen to this part real quick.
Dude, you're going fucking 10. Because when you rear end them, it's on your insurance.
Well, the joke I go on about the Asians, because I don't like doing any racial jokes without a twist. So my joke about Asian driving is they're so smart that that's why they appear to be bad at driving, because they've done all the algorithms and they know that going 8 miles an hour in a 65 is actually much safer. So that's how I get around that. I don't like letting jokes hang with just stereotypes that could be perceived as negative without a funny twist. Because I like to push boundaries, but at the same time not just be a complete asshole. All right, so so these two people will become major characters in the rest of the show.
But they could drive well. They did, you know, but they're fucking so smart. I love being alive. I love being alive. I love it. And my brother's awesome. I got to move to back home, the Adirondack Mountains. I lived in LA for 12 years. Then we had a baby, and we're like, let's get out of here. You know? And so, because my brother's a lumberjack, and he's... What's that, bud? You got four brothers or four kids? You guys got four kids together? Nice, dude. Way to go. You got a fucking pretty reliable cock on you. That's awesome, dude. How old are they? 18? Are you guys fucking vampires? Like, seriously, how do you not age? Huh? You fucking do well? Is that the dude who's tripping? What's that? Oh, his friend's the one tripping? Because I feel like he's tripping into pussy. He's like, oh, know, I just made another kid. It's my dick. That's awesome. I love that shit. Are you guys Mexican? Half? What do you mean some? You're Mexican? Where are you, like, Colombian? Nice. It's a powerful mix. Mexico, Colombia. Colombia. That's great. Here's a song called All the Spanish I Know.
Okay, so that's you see what's going on. Good people, keep interacting. I love them, but they just keep interacting. At one point, I'm doing a thing about how I want to be a real musician. Like I originally wanted to be a real musician, not a comedian. And I'm playing like something that I find beautiful. It's part of a joke, obviously, but a little bit true. And so I get a little bit of the heckle. Check this out.
What's that, bud? Stick with comedy? I can't tell if that's a compliment or a dick. What's that?
So he says, stick with comedy. And I'm like, is that a compliment or a dig? And then he goes, it's a dig. He's funny. He's giving me shit. He's fucking, he's Mexican. Mexicans, they're like Irish. They're like the brown Irish. They attack you, but in a funny way. They attack you and smile, which I love. But then, you know, I come back.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Stick with silence.
All right. So I'm showing you all this because there's a reason. Hang on, what's this part?
What's that, bud? Don't talk to me. What'd you say? No, I mean it. Like, I might use this. Like you're such a kind audience that, like, if you have something to say, hit me with it. I want to make these jokes better. What's that, bud? You're going to get it either way? Bro, in 20 years, I'll see you on a syndicated show called Snap.
It's the same dude. He's hilarious. But he's saying, I did a joke about Snapped. And for those of you that have seen me live, like, you probably know this joke about, you know, about the you don't really know your woman until you watch them watch a show about women who murder men. And he's like, I'll get it either way. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, then you're going to die. Okay, so this gets to the heart of the episode that I want to get to. Okay, my openers this week is a dude named Alan who's so fucking funny. I Instagrammed one of his jokes. I'm trying to Instagram more like hosts and features jokes because a lot of them are like some of the funniest people I've ever seen. So if I can like spread some of their shit, the better. And then this other dude, Ashton Womack, who just impressed the fuck out of me. He's a 26-year-old kid out of Houston. So positive. I posted a pic of him with one of his jokes, and I'm like, this kid is so fucking good. And Morgan Murphy, really, really, really good comic, just like comedy royalty, amazing writer, immediately just posted, I know, like smiley face. And this kid doesn't leave Houston. So I'm like, all right, this dude is fucking legit. So anyway, so me and Ashton, Alan and everybody, in between shows and before shows, like comics just hang out and try and just write jokes and riff. And one of our buddies, this dude Spike, is also a comic who works at the Improv. And we're all just riffing about like tips and how like even black waiters don't like waiting on black people a lot of times because you never know if they're going to tip. They're, you know. And then we start going through all the people that don't tip, like French people sometimes don't tip, and like Japanese people. I used to work in a Japanese restaurant and they don't tip. And if you know Brett Ernst is, he has an amazing joke about that. Like, if you're not racist, become a waiter, you'll become racist. It's funny. So then I'm riffing with Ashton and I'm like, yeah, man, everyone's talking about reparations, but I feel like you guys take, by the way, Ashton's black, right? So I'm like, I feel like you guys take back all your reparations already from not tipping. That's 20% on everything forever. That's hundreds of years of 20%. And he's like, dude, you got to do that on stage. And I'm like, no. And he's like, yeah, man, they'll let you, like black people like you. I'm like, it's not the fucking black people I'm worried about. It's the stupid white people. And someone else jumped in, you know, another like black waiter or something was like, dude, that's fucking funny. And I'm like, I promise you guys, I promise you, it won't work. And it's not black people. In fact, I'm not one of those comics because it's ignorant to say the other direction as well, like black people all would love that joke. No, being a race doesn't dictate your sense of humor at all, but your culture, social class, where you live in the country, you know, what people you subscribe to with your identity, all that shit matters. And 90% of black people in a crowd in Houston would laugh at that. 90% of white people in a crowd in Houston would groan. And for a variety of reasons, I don't even know. That's why I do Why Didn't They Laugh? I don't fucking know. If I knew the answer to this, I wouldn't be doing this. But the good thing about a good crowd and a calm demeanor is you can dig your way out of it. But watch how deep this goes. And I'll explain to you as we go through this clip. Because I've been riffing a lot on stage, because sometimes people will come to like 3 or 4 of my shows in a weekend, and I got this amazing compliment. Someone said I'm like the fish of comedy. Like I'm like a jam band where they'll like come, they want to see like a different set, because I always do different sets. Sometimes I'd say 8 to 10 minutes a show I'll never say again, because I have a musician's background. And so people will come over and over again to like I don't have this huge fan base like a lot of my friends do, but my fan base is fucking crazy loyal. And like, you know, they'll be like, dude, Friday 8 o'clock was so much different than Sunday 7 o'clock. And I'm like, dude, this sounds like I'm a jam band. Like it's grateful. I'm like the Grateful Dead. Anyway, so check out me attempting reparations joke.
Don't talk shit to comments. I've seen Narcos. I'm not capable of.
Oh, wait a minute. Which part was this? Oh, okay. So remember earlier with the Mexican and the Colombian, and how I held my tongue. I didn't say anything about cocaine because I'm friends with a lot of Colombians and they get annoyed by everyone constantly talking about, you know, cocaine, because that stereotype is so ridiculously used. It's just like being tall. It's like tall people, every single, like all of us, nonstop. It's, do you play basketball? How's the weather up there? Do you play basketball? Do you play basketball? So I know that feeling, so I try not to indulge in it, because I don't want to. That's why when I was like, Colombia, nice. Because my head had a bunch of cocaine jokes, and I'm like, I'm not going to do that. But of course, you know, they keep talking, so eventually they do. Check out some of these missteps that I make.
Don't talk shit to comments. I've seen Narcos. I'm not capable of. I know you guys hate the fucking stereotype. That's why I didn't do the fucking coke thing. I get it, but it's still true. Still true. You guys are fucking vicious. The Medellin's and shit. Oh, is it sad you're associated with coke? How do you think it feels being white? I'm associated with fucking slavery.
Okay, that's directly from me listening to a full audiobook from Norm Macdonald. You guys have to get this. It's called Based on a True Story. And I didn't use his voice, obviously, because that's his voice. But like that joke is blatantly Norm. And it wasn't, I was riffing that. That came out of nowhere. But it's like, so the Colombians are all upset that they're associated with cocaine. Well, white people are associated with slavery. Because if you think about it, think about how much fucking crazier it is that white people that have never owned a slave have never benefited from slavery. You know, most likely their relatives fought for the North or immigrated after the Civil War, are associated with one of the worst possible crimes against humanity that we are deeply ashamed of openly. We're you know, it's like, well, you people put us in chains. Do you know how much crazier that is than an association with cocaine? Let's listen to me say that one more time. And just try and picture Norm Macdonald saying it, because sometimes that's one reason why I try sometimes not to read comedians' books, because I don't want to get their voice too much in my head. But I'm just so obsessed with Norm Macdonald, and he's so fucking brilliant. But just picture him like that, like, O.J. Simpson killed his wife. When you just say reality in that, like, very, like, dry, like, just say it and move on, to me it's fucking hilarious. But when you're dealing with 95... You know, when you're dealing with a crowd that has maybe 8 total black people in it in Houston, Texas, it gets uncomfortable. And I keep digging. This is just the beginning. Wait till you hear me try the reparations shit.
Oh, is it sad you're associated with coke? How do you think it feels being white? I'm associated with fucking slavery. Black people have already got reparations. They don't tip. Leonard said fucking hilarious. Me and Ashton were working out that joke. I go, I swear to God, they won't let me do it. You gotta do that one. That's how comics talk. We're like fucking, like we're trying to find truth in the world. We're not like you guys, like, oh, no way, I'm on a team. Like we're trying to figure out shit. And I'm like, I promise you, I can't do that joke even though it's funny. And he's like, dude, give it a shot. I'm like, watch them groan. Like even though it's hysterical, like a black comic can do that. I can't. I'm the fucking Rosa Parks of concepts. I read a great joke and go, no, you talk about relationships, you talk about dogs, you talk about traffic. I can't do the joke about reparations, it's really funny. I mean, no, you're white. So then I just go back to my castle and I just cry. And I just let Paul McCartney just fuck my mouth. He calls it a British pacifier.
Okay, I have no idea what I'm talking about at this point. But for those of you guys that have heard a few episodes ago when I said something about a black dude putting his dick in a chick's mouth, it's called a Cleveland pacifier. And it kills in Cleveland with black audiences, but outside there's groans. So in my head, I switched it to the British pacifier, where Sir Paul McCartney puts his dick in my mouth. Back to A Billion Wicked Thoughts, I'm now playing around with me being the target of the male gaze. You know, when I'm doing like drinking Zima, I'll be like, I'll suck your dick right now. That's me in the passive position. It's not about being a homosexual. It's about, as a comedian, being like, okay, I'll be the one getting whatever I'm mocking so that it's not going to elicit that reaction. And that actually helped me when I said, Sir Paul McCartney's going to fuck my mouth. With the British, it's called the British pacifier. Like that, like now I'm a baby sucking on a British guy's dick who's very famous and loved. So now I'm kind of slingshotting him back a little bit, but we'll see. Check out what happens here.
I promise you guys, there's 2 people in the crowd right now that think everything I'm saying is real. They're like, isn't that amazing that people, like, I almost have envy for those people, because they, like, get to really enjoy, like, the reality of life. But, like, why the chicken cross the road? It's like, I don't know. Knock, knock. I don't see a door.
So now I'm pivoting into just trying to do jokes about people not understanding context. That you get it. I don't have to explain that to you guys. Yeah, it gets, this is when I get them back. Cause as a comedian with like 4 or 5 hours of material in my pocket, I'm just trying to get to a point where I can do a structured joke I know works. I'm still in no man's land. I'm still like just reacting as Owen, the person, not as someone with material. So, but yeah, things could go either way here.
All right, tell you what. Seeing how honest Chris Martin was about truth and reality. Now I feel like he's right. There was a time. What's that? You, just tell me, because you might have a good idea. I'm such a psycho for ideas. Like, if someone talks, like, in a comedy situation, I'm not even mad at all. I'm like, fucking got an idea of Paul McCartney fucking my mouth thing. Because I've never said that ever. I'm riffing right now. You know? And so that will be funny. I just need to know where it could go. I'm fucking humbled by comedy. I want to know what the right answer is. I don't fucking know. I want to know. What's that?
Titty twisters.
Titty twisters? Oh, you're talking about House Bunny? I was in that movie, House Bunny, and my nipples were very sensitive, my character. So, like, for like 5 years, strange women would just fucking twist my nipples on the street. And then I have to, like, look at, like, these hashtags, like, yes, all women and shit. And I'm like, Yeah, I've been sexually assaulted about 5,000 times, but that's all right, because, you know, I got a dick and everything. It's all good. And you're welcome for all the wars and the highways and all that shit.
So at this point, I now see a way to get through this, because this weekend, I would say 4 out of the 6 shows, women from the crowd yelled out about my penis and my pants, because I wear suits and they're not even tight, and I wear underwear trying to hide my dick, and they still are like, wow, how we can see it, pull it out. Swear to fucking God, this happens to me all the time. And so, you know, I have like jokes ready for it, and so I did an Instagram post where I'm like, you know, I feel so ashamed and I feel so objectified. Oh, wait, no, I don't, because I'm not crazy. Like, they're probably just ovulating like moms that like want to have a fun night out. So it's the same with House Bunny. Like, when I was in that movie, like, women would always twist my nipples, because that's what Marvin, I was the butler of the Playboy Mansion, and like strange women would just start rubbing my body. Like in a mall. Again, it never bothered me, but I do understand how women would feel uncomfortable when like men come at them. Because for me, I'm not in a position of, I'm not threatened, because I'm a giant and a male, and just the anatomy of women isn't as scary as men. Like, they're not trying to put anything inside of us. So it's just, I realize that it's not, it's like when I compared myself to Rosa Parks, it's hyperbole. I get that. But I now see an opening into a joke that I know works.
Anyway, yeah, everyone talks about sexism. It's like, you don't think there's sexism against men? We just don't bring it up because we're, like, fun to be around. Like, it's acceptable for women to say deeper during sex. You ever think about that? And you're like, oh, you like that? Like, approval? That do good? You like that? Deeper. Like, that? Like that? It's like, deeper. You're like... Wait, is it that we're holding out on you? The fact you say deeper means you think it's a choice. For the puppet shallow for our own reasons. It's like deeper, it's like not yet, baby. You're not ready for that final inch. How would women react if we said tighter?
That's one of my favorite moments in any of my jokes, when it goes from groans to applause by the same people that were groaning are now applauding. Because that's why I love doing romance, sex, stuff like that. Because there's no bad area. You know, like, the same people that are groaning, like, oh, how dare you? They're smart enough to be like, oh my God, it's the same fucking thing. And then they immediately start laughing. The reason sometimes Why Didn't They Laugh goes towards race more is because it's more confusing to me. Like, if people don't laugh for a gender joke, I usually understand it pretty well. Like, I have that pretty mapped out. But race and culture is still very confusing to me. So, and I'm not going to do this podcast and just give, like, lectures about what I know. Because I don't truly understand why I can't do the reparations joke. I truly don't. It's just like when Norm MacDonald wasn't allowed to make fun of O.J. Simpson. He was fired for because he was called institutionally racist, because he kept claiming O.J. Simpson was a murderer. And in his book is basically like Don Quixote. It's elevated. It's kind of like, if you guys listen to my Case Closed, Beers Open I do with my brother, it's elevated reality, where it's like he takes his whole life and he tells these stories, and it's 95% exaggerated to a ridiculous, like, fantasy, almost like it's being told by like a 9-year-old who just got back from summer vacation, you know. And he's like, and then we're being chased by the man, the fat man with a false hair, you know. He doesn't say toupee, he says like the fat man with the false hair. Like, it's just like, it's almost like Bukowski meets Don Quixote meets just the innocence of a child. That's Norm MacDonald. And yeah, he wins, and that's why he got fired from SNL. And you can feel the pain in his voice, but he's still a comedian, and he's still like making it funny. So he's like, so he was fired for being racist because he goes, he's like, so I'm talking to the head of the NBC, and he's like, and I'm like, you know, I refuse to do more O.J. Simpson jokes. He's been acquitted by a jury of his peers. And it would be unfair. And he said, no, listen, fella. The only thing that gets me through my day is hearing you make fun of Orenthal James Simpson himself. I play golf with that man, and I need to have myself some good zingers for him when they're on the course. And I said, no, sirree, Bob, I will not do it. He has been acquitted. He is innocent in the eyes of the law. I will not. And so, and then at the very end, he talks about how he was called racist. Norm MacDonald was called racist for making fun of O.J. Simpson. So I still don't get it. I still am struggling with it. I'll finish this deeper joke, though. So let's finish it.
But this is how awesome guys are. Not only are we not offended, we like it because it's a task. And we like tasks. When you say deeper, we're like, I had a captain, I'll trip some feet, I'll lose some weight. I got another quarter inch in there, just give me another pump. Just give me another pump.
See, that's the twist I was talking about, like with the Asian thing. You can't, well, I don't know, I guess you can, but I don't, if I say like, deeper, tighter, it almost sounds like a complaint. Like I'm saying like, well, if we did it, you guys would fucking freak out. So the end of the joke has to be something that you don't see expecting. And that's that we not only aren't offended, we like when women say deeper because it's a task. And we like clear, direct language about what you need.
For your information, we're going as deep as we can. From our first pump to our dying pump, we keep no cock for ourselves. And I want that on my fucking tombstone. He gave me people all the dick he had. He kept no dick for himself. He was not a greedy man. And he died alone on a hill, looking at the place where he was born.
So, I just have one more clip to play. And again, thanks for everyone who joins the Patreon page, patreon.com/WDTL. $1, $3, $5, $10, $25 a month. There's different tiers. Anything helps. Like, for example, this last month we raised like $250. And that, if we get it to the right number, this podcast is sustainable. Like, for example, those two books plus I had to buy a Zoom recorder, bandwidth, this isn't a profitable podcast. It is in the sense that it's good. Like people come out to the shows and stuff and I get to work through my material, but that shit is clutch for you guys to do that. So I'm going to put some content up there. I'm going to do another South Park review. I put the last one on my Patreon page and there's another episode that I'm going to review because South Park is awesome. I might do a Westworld review as well. Because I'm like a critic that only likes criticizing things that I love, like that I think is better than me. So I guess it's more being like a fanboy, I guess. But I like doing like breakdowns and like kind of like my Chappelle episode. I don't like breaking apart anything I don't like. Like if I didn't like someone, I would never bring them up ever. I just, except for people that have personally offended me, like that have personally in my life to my face or online or something, attacked me, is the only time you'll ever hear me talk shit about fucking anybody. Okay, so remember the guy with the four children, the Mexican and the Colombian? So this is how we're closing out the show tonight. So he has four children, and he's with this woman, and he... So check this out.
Fuck your whole family.
Hang on real quick here. Which I want to show... I just want to show this
one. They're almost funnier than me. A long time ago. And I promised someone I love very much that I would never play it again. But you guys may remember this one. I know I do. It caused me a lot of pain. This song is dedicated to a guy I met in rehab. He was trying to get over an addiction he has for talking out in public. He's a really good person, you know. It all comes from insecurity because he knows his four kids are actually mine. Yeah, maybe the fact his kids aren't all fucking 5'1 might have rung a bell. But this song's dedicated to him. I love him so goddamn much. It's his favorite song. I wrote it with his mom. It's called called OTPHJ.
All right, so it's a good time. It's a, like, I've been in that position. There's a thing in porn called cuckolding, where, like, you almost enjoy being dominated by another man. And I've experienced that with Jeff Ross. And, oh, that was a weird pivot. Obviously, it has nothing to do with sex, what I'm talking about. It's like, the emotional cuckolding. It's like when you want someone to just fucking make fun of you. You know, I've been on stage with Jeff Ross before, the roast master, and I'm playing piano and he's doing his jokes and he's just making fun of me and I love it. Like, I say almost nothing. Like, I just know, I'm like, I love that you're just fucking killing me. And that's in everyone. Everyone, there's a bit of a cuckold in everybody. A little bit of like the emotional, like, fuck my wife thing. I know that sounds so vulgar. I wish I was not so vulgar, but it's just such an easy way to explain it. When someone's like, just publicly fuck me up. And ironically, a lot of times the men and women who seek this out have very powerful jobs or they are very dominant in their life and they just seek release. They seek that submissive position. And that's why I'm saying I'm the father of this man's children, and him and his wife are like crying with laughter and people can see it. So they join in the laughter because it's an emotional release of power, because it's so ridiculous and absurd that, like, obviously it isn't true. I mean, literally he has a 19-year-old kid or a 20-year-old kid, you know, like I would have been like 15 or 16 years old and I came to Houston, and like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, the detective in everyone's brain says, oh, this is parody. And that's why earlier I was kind of getting a little intense about the knock knock jokes and the why'd the chicken cross the road, because I think that voice in everyone's head that allows them to laugh, that says this is parody, is getting quieter and quieter and less okay with things, because I think our real world is becoming so extreme and so like the news isn't the news anymore. It's entertainment. And I think that shift has affected us all very deeply. You know, now that like The Onion sounds more believable than CNN, it's like, what else is a fucking joke? You know, like, what else is really real? Like, did the chicken really cross the road? Why? And so, but that's okay. That's just a small point. This has been a happy episode. I'm not going to go on one of my stupid rants. Oh, I did go on a Titanic rant. I'm in St. Louis this weekend, by the way. Next weekend, Pittsburgh. Weekend after, Phoenix. Should I play the fucking Titanic rant? It's 1 minute, 30 seconds. I don't want to go too long. How long is this thing? I promised myself I wouldn't. This is already 44 minutes. Shit. No, I'll do that in the next one. Because I also have me and Ashton and Alan on a podcast. So I'll release another one later in the week. I'll play the Titanic one. Yeah, so go to hugepianist.com. And if you go to, I have a Patreon page for Case Closed Beers Open, our other podcast, where you can just buy us like a round of darts for a dollar or a beer for like $5. That shit helps, you know, crowdfunding comedy. Because in Saranac Lake, I'm not going to be on much television these days. It's just a fact. So, I mean, I probably will in the future again, but it's crowdfunded and it's touring funded. So you guys are everything to me at this point. And I do appreciate the support. And if you can't afford to throw in some cash, what also helps is a comment or a share or a rating, you know, because most people now make choices based on public opinion. For better, for worse, you know, from Amazon to Yelp to anything. If you say, like, this is a good podcast, check this out, post that shit. That's why I listened to Norm MacDonald's book. I saw Seth MacFarlane tweeted about it. And I was like, I didn't even know he wrote a fucking book. And then I listened to all 7 hours of it in one day and was just obsessed. And I posted about it. And Brian Quinn from The Impractical Jokers immediately commented, like, yeah, it's the fucking best book I've ever read. And I'm like, well, not the best ever. He said it was perfect or something. But I'm like, yeah, dude, that's how people spread ideas and share ideas. So when podcasters say like subscribe, comment, rate, it really matters. Like that's what advertising is now. And I have another hour special that I'm going to self-produce. I've come to the conclusion that I'm just going to start releasing my own specials on iTunes, whether it's just audio or audio with visual. I don't know, because they are kind of expensive to make. But I'm sitting on so much material, and I just want to fucking get it out, guys. So thank you for listening, and think about all the shit from this podcast, because it's applicable to all of our lives, whether it be the dominance and submission of power, you know, what genders feel, what really is racism and what is not. I don't know. There's a lot I don't know. So you can always write to me at whydidn'tthelaugh@gmail.com, because I want to know more. Like, I want to know why. Because every time I think I get it, and I think, like, I'm like, oh, white people shouldn't say these things, I'm like, then I just get reminded that everyone has a right to talk about everything. That's the whole point. And true institutional racism that's right in our faces. And I'm not going to get preachy. Just give me 30 seconds. It's drug laws and it's private prisons. That's it. That's the root of the shit. It's taking these black men from, and it's based on money, and it's based on old Jim Crow shit. It's based on the fact that humans just have a hard time changing more than they do have a hatred for people. But like when you remove a kid's dad and put him in jail for weed, and then they have no role model, and then they, when that guy gets out of jail and he can't get a job because he's a felon because he fucking did a drug that's less strong than NyQuil. I mean, that's so bad. There's people serving 20 years in jail for fucking marijuana. And they're predominantly black. And so if you don't allow white people to get involved in these discussions, like, nothing will change. The country's half white, and we have probably 90% of the money. You know, maybe that's why you can make fun of Asians so much, because they're only 4%, but they have a huge chunk of money. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's why I can just fucking rip on Asians and no one gives a flying fuck. Everyone's like, yeah, fuck that. I think it's how much money people have. Because I can make fun of people from Africa and no one would really care. Like Nigerians, because they're very wealthy in America. They're some of the wealthiest people in America are Nigerians. But we don't have enough words for culture and money and all the social classes and bullshit. Someone wrote to me about, on Patreon, someone wrote to me that about Pete Holmes and Moshe Kasher were having a conversation that there isn't, that racism can only go one direction, that it's only white to black and not black to white. We discussed it, and then I listened to the podcast, and it's, normally I would just be like, no, they're fucking stupid, but Moshe is so eloquent and so good at making his points that it is it's something to really debate. It's not one, I feel that isn't true, because I feel like it's just, I don't know. I don't want to go down too many of these holes, but like, for example, Pete Holmes and Moshe Kasher both make millions of dollars a year. So to say, it's like saying they have no right to comment on the middle class because they're not middle class. And I think money divides people more than race does. And I think anybody would agree with that, that Magic Johnson's life is much more similar to the privileged white stereotype than it is a poor white person in a trailer park. The real privilege in this country is green. But at the same time, you don't want to, you know, that's the scary thing about the alt-right people, is because they show that there are people that truly think there's like a war on white people and shit. And so I feel uncomfortable even, like, my opinion, oh man, it's tough, because I don't want, those people to me are wrong. Like, there isn't a war on white people. I think that all the wars are just class. It's all about money. And I think that we do have such a dark history with race that it's easy to, I don't know. It's so fucking confusing, guys. Any help with this, please write to me. Because I'm not an expert on race, but I do know when people are full of shit. And if you say that a black person can't be racist towards a white person, that's insane to me. To me, that's insane. Because racism means that you're judging someone based on race. And if you exclude one way of doing it from one race to another, that's the definition of racism. But I might be being too literal. And I hear how some people make that argument, and I think they sound ignorant. So I'm trying not to make any major stances on it. And some people are like, well, why does it matter? Why do you even give a shit? You're a white man. Because I'm a fucking comedian who has to like know what I can and can't say on stage. And limiting speech in comedy is what led to our current fucking environment that's batshit crazy. So it does affect me, and it affects my family, and it affects the way I can provide for them. And if you say, well, just stick with traffic jokes and male-female shit and play your little piano, I say, go fuck yourself. I'll burn this place down, because that's the rock star in me. That's the rebel. That's the fucking person that originally got me into comedy. It's saying, like, if you say I can't do something that doesn't hurt people, then there's something wrong with that. And I will just keep poking at it until I understand it. And I won't stop until I do understand it. Ask all my science teachers from fucking seventh grade. They used to literally send me to the principal's office. They're like, one time I didn't understand adiabatic cooling, where it's like when hot air rises, it starts to cool and then it releases all the water. That's what creates a rain shadow next to a mountain. And I didn't understand it. So I just kept asking questions about it. And the teacher, Mr. Parisian, he actually liked me for it, kind of, but he still would kick me out of class. And that's my brain. It has nothing to do with being fascinated by race. It's only fascinated by race because that's what seems to be this major fucking weird thing right now. And when you listen to Norm's book, and this isn't a new thing, like people have been controlled by the fear of being called racist for a long time. And the Norm MacDonald almost savant, somewhat autistic brain, I have a little of that. And I just can't, I just can't accept someone saying, oh, just go with this. It's like, no, I'm not just going to fucking go with that. That's like, really bad things in history have come from people just saying, just fucking go with this. All right, I'm done ranting. I got to start my day. I've only slept like 2 hours. My son's really sniffly. And we're doing some work on the house. We're putting in a floor in the basement. I'm putting together a sauna. I bought a sauna. I'm so excited about it. And then I leave again. I've only been home one day. I just did Houston. And I'm so glad for everyone who came out. You made my weekend so fun. And then St. Louis. I've never done St. Louis, but I'm at Helium this week. And then Pittsburgh, that always gives me mad love because of Sullivan and Son. I'll be on DVE, I'm sure, with Randy. And then Phoenix, Tempe, Arizona, the weekend after, Christmas weekend. I fly up with my wife and son to Seattle for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And then I do New Year's in Fort Myers at Off the Hook Comedy, where I meet up with my buddy Mike, who does Sword and Scale. Like, we've become, like, legitimately close friends off Twitter. For everything I talk shit about the internet, there's so many good things about it. Like, I literally am now, like, close to this guy. Like, we talk all the time. And, like, it's just from Twitter. And just from listening to each other's podcasts. That's insane. Like, that's amazing. And so he's going to do a meetup for his fans at my show. And we're all going to hang out and talk true crime, drink, and laugh. And then January, I go to Belfast, Manchester, London, Dublin with the Impractical Jokers, the greatest people alive. I'm so honored to be opening for them. You have no idea. And I'm so proud of them. Like, those dudes have done it. Like, when someone thinks about making it in entertainment, I mean, fuck. The four best friends from high school got a TV show that they wrote, that they designed, that became on a network that no one really knew about, True TV. Everyone's like, no, you got to get on like ABC, NBC, CBS. And they're like, well, True TV, you know, they bought our show, so we're going to roll with them. True TV themselves start growing. True TV starts playing them all the time. Now True TV is making other amazing shows. You know, like Adam Ruins Everything is awesome. Like, they're like becoming like such a legitimately great network. And the Jokers had such a great show and still do that they kind of just grew together. And now they're selling out like these 30,000 seat stadiums. And I've been friends with them since they were doing like half empty fucking comedy clubs. And sometimes you see the rise of entertainers and it's bullshit and you get almost spiteful. I've controlled that. I now know how to not feel that. And other times you see it and you're like, it's about time. Like, hell yeah. You know, like when I saw Tosh or Galifianakis or Swartzen or any of these, or the Jokers, or a lot of these people, where Theo Von right now is having a good run. And he's like, these people, it's like about fucking time, you know? Like, I'm glad that people now get to see the brilliance of these humans. And so, yeah, I'm just honored to be doing that with them. And we did a podcast together in like 2014. It's called What Say You is their podcast. And I still get so many tweets and Facebook messages from that one appearance on it. Because we just talked. It was at this perfect time, this moment in history, where we could talk about history and hipsters and comedy and our families and just be where we're hung over from a fun night the night before in LA doing shows. And, you know, it was just this moment. And if you listen to that podcast, it really is just a beautiful moment where people didn't, they weren't touchy yet, but there was these forces at work out there. But yeah, it didn't have that, like, I got to unfollow you because you don't believe what I believe bullshit that's happening now. And it just really was just this great, honest moment. And so, yeah, I'm very proud of them. And I'm so glad that they're keeping me in their world. Because, I mean, that's what life's all about. Tribes. You know, you get your tribe. You get the people that you love and the people that you care about. And you do everything you can just to stay together. And I've had friends that I thought I'd be friends with for life that have fallen out of my life. And it makes me sad, like really sad. It takes work, you know? And I've had other friends just become bigger in my life and more important and more reliable. And, you know, without people, we're just alone. So family, friends, tribe, nation, world, it's all good. Drink water. Drink a lot of water and change those socks. And if you want to help out the podcast, patreon.com/WDTL. You can always email me. Case Closed, Beers Open is the other podcast. I love you guys for listening. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.